You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, allegedly, from the laptop computer on my desk here, and let's bring up Parker Olson, our producer in Madison A2.
Hello.
And say good morning to him.
Good morning. How are you, Pat?
Discombobulated.
Oh, gosh.
Dan Schaefer's not going to be here for 2.5 hours.
Oh, gosh. That's not good.
No.
We're gonna need him on the horn now.
No, let's let the man sleep. He's a young father.
He just got back from like London or something, I guess.
Yes, and he's going to tell us all about that because there hasn't been much in politics to talk about this week. Although there was a candidate for governor, potentially, teasing us last night from an ice cream shop, of all places.
What?
So we'll get to that.
Okay.
Anyway, let me explain what's happening here, especially for folks watching on social media. And it's a very easy explanation, I fear. I updated my software overnight on my desktop. And somehow StreamYard, the program that we do this on, looked at my new version of Sequoia and said, no, I don't want to play with you. So we quickly moved things over to my laptop, and it's working well, except for the echo that I'm hearing, but you're not hearing it, Parker, right?
No, I'm not hearing it, so we are doing okay over the airwaves.
Okay, so it's like a terrible version of tinnitus and voices in my head, and they're my own, my half a second later.
You could stop talking to me and take off your headphones, I suppose.
I suppose I could,
yeah,
and then you could just pop yourself up on screen if there's something you want to add.
Sure.
Let's see. Before I let you go, did you watch the Brewers last night?
Oh, you bet I did.
Good. Because that was fun.
It was very fun. We are getting very close to the point of George Webb hamburgers again, which I didn't think we would say twice in 1 year.
I don't know that we have to necessarily talk about the hamburgers yet, because apparently that's some kind of a jinx, you know?
I said it on Todd's show yesterday, and nothing went wrong, so I don't know.
Jinxes are weird. I mean, it's baseball, you know? So we'll see. All right, well, let me get to the summary of it. And so to do that, I'm going to bring myself up full here. I'm going to turn my headphones for a second, and I'll look for you to pop up in case you need me for anything. Because for right now, I need to tell folks what's on the show from our... This angle of the laptop looks like it's a hostage situation here in Chippewa Falls, but trust me, it's not. It's just bad software. All right, so coming up on the program today, well, we're going to at some point get into the militarization of Washington, D.C., which shouldn't have to happen. Cities have crime, and there are right and wrong ways to deal with it. And unfortunately, we've got a convenient distraction now from the President of the United States, who's saying that crime is out of control. It is not. And so he's taking over the D.C. police force. The D.C. police force is far from perfect, but that's not really what this is all about, especially when you consider that the biggest crime in Washington, D.C. in our lifetimes was masterminded by the guy in the White House right now on January 6, 2021. So this is not exactly what it appears to be, but it is serious because it again shows that, like Los Angeles, what's happening in DC could be coming to communities near you. And if you're one of those folks in the rural areas going, oh, good, those big bad cities deserve it, it's not going to be limited to big cities. Don't tease yourself that way. Don't kid yourself. So we'll talk a bit about that. Also, the fall session of the Wisconsin legislature is supposed to feature bills that lawmakers had hoped would make it into the state budget, but now they have to pass on their own merits. One of those bills would allow Wisconsin farmers to have paying campers without having obtain a campground license. We're going to talk to our friend Hans Breitenmoser. He's a dairy farmer in Lincoln County. Sheila Everhart from the Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association. And talk about that bill that advocates hope is the opening of another agricultural tourism revenue opportunity. We'll also have a guest from the Friends of the Apostle Islands to talk about safe boating in that part of Lake Superior. We mentioned that Dan's going to be in, but he's going to be talking probably less about politics and more about what he's seen in his hometown of Milwaukee as they take stock of the terrible damage from the massive flash flooding over the weekend. And, you know, rain is still in the forecast for them as well. We'll check in with Chad Holmes from our civic media station in Wausau about some of the stories that he's following up north. And we will ride another wave as the Brewers, again, reach a double-digit winning streak. So much to tell you about throughout the course of the next 3 hours here, even though we're kind of running on a spare tire, if you were, technologically speaking. Let me tell you for a moment about something that is new for Up North News on social media. Not only can you watch this program on Facebook and YouTube, both the Civic Media and the Up North News Facebook and YouTube pages, but, you know, we've been on Twitter and Instagram and TikTok and all of that, and now Up North News is on Blue Sky as well. Now, Twitter, unfortunately, hasn't died yet, even though it deserves to. Elon Musk has done all that he can to turn Twitter into a dumpster fire. But because of its size and usage, there's still plenty of people on there who have to put up with everything from, you know, Nazis to soft porn to, you know, all the things that show up that you don't ask for and have just completely ruined the Twitter experience. Blue Sky is one of those alternatives that have come along. It hasn't risen nearly to the level of Twitter, but it does have more than its share of people who use Twitter either just a little bit, just to maintain a presence there, or not at all. And so Up North News has just opened up an account there. Civic Media and a lot of your favorite Civic Media folks also have accounts on Blue Sky. So that's the one, by the way, in case you go, wait, isn't that the one somebody was supposed to send you an invitation to do? Yeah, that was back when they were first getting started. You don't need that anymore. So if you haven't done it yet, go ahead and give Blue Sky a try and look for us on there and maybe be able to not have to feed your Twitter addiction quite so much. All right, let's talk about the Brewers, because that was, again, another fun game to watch. And winning streaks, well, they're just always fun. The Brewers beat up on the Pirates 7-1. The Brewers having just one of the best years. The Pirates, definitely not. Bryce Durang hit his first career leadoff home run, and Jose Quintana had allowed just 3 hits over 6 innings, 6 very solid innings. And number 22 hit number 22 as Christian Yelich hit his 22nd home run of the season. Now, last night was the first of 11 straight games against teams in the National League Central Division. You got 3 against Pittsburgh, 3 at Cincinnati later this week, and then 5 games at Wrigley Field in Chicago. So 11 straight divisional games. And one more scheduling streak of note. The Brewers play this evening, 6:05 again, the pregame on several civic media stations, and then a day game tomorrow at American Family Field. Then they'll have Thursday off. And then, like I mentioned, they head to Cincinnati. But the thing to note there, not only those 3 games against Cincinnati and 5 against Chicago at Wrigley, but starting Friday, the Brewers will be playing 19 games over 18 days before they next get a day off. Their next day off is September 2nd, the day after Labor Day. We mentioned yesterday that Freddie Peralta was scheduled to pitch yesterday. At the last minute, he was given 1 extra day of rest, which is why Jose Quintana was in. Freddie Peralta is scheduled to pitch tonight against Pittsburgh's Paul Skeens. And again, 6:05 this evening for the pregame, and then 12:35 tomorrow afternoon for that day game on civic media stations in Richland Center, Oshkosh, Racine, Kenosha, Park Falls, and Hayward. All right, let's see what else we're going to be following today. Somebody was giving us perhaps a tease of a forthcoming announcement, and that would be State Senator Kelda Royes, who has not put out anything official yet. But as I go back over to my desktop, you know, the one that was ruined by doing a software update, boy, things you have to learn the hard way. But on there was a post from State Senator Kelda Roys. I can say it's on her personal account, so it's not like she made some kind of an official declaration. But she did put up a note about being at a particular Madison ice cream parlor and having their flavor called "This Blank Just Got Serious." And she says, once again, I say this blank just got serious. And then she hashtags it 2026 hashtag governor. And Senator Roys has mentioned in the past that she is leaning toward running for governor. So again, continuing to tease it with something that, again, ties into her announcement a few years back when she ran for governor, was saying that this blank is getting serious. So we'll see. We'll watch. It's interesting, though, that, again, it's been more than 2 weeks since Governor Evers announced that he was not going to be running for a third term. And yet here we are with really no change in the candidate field. You had Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez announce the next day. You had Milwaukee County Executive David Crawley saying that he was going to announce at some point. He's obviously a little busy right now with the state of emergency situation in Milwaukee County. You have the two candidates on the Republican side, and really nothing else has changed since then, which was most definitely not what I was predicting was going to be the case. I thought we would see a big pack right away of people trying to get early momentum, and they did not. Now, that's not a bad thing necessarily. I mean, you're all relieved. You're not getting phone calls for donations. You're not seeing digital ads already from some of the early candidates and things like that. So they'll come when they come. Joseph Pecky told us that once you're not first in, you can kind of set your own schedule. And so we'll be looking for those announcements. But in the meantime, if you're curious as to who, you know, we still think may be likely to announce that they're exploring a campaign for governor, well, then head over to our website, upnorthnewswi.com. Again, upnorthnewswi.com. And over there, you can find the article that I put up, which lists very nearly 20 different people who have been reported to be considering or rumored to be potential candidates in the race. And some of them are very familiar names, some not so much, and they might surprise you. Well, this way they won't sneak up on you. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to have former State Representative Dana Walks from Eau Claire. We're going to talk to him about two different things. First off, he'll be appearing in our regular homeroom segment, and we're going to again talk about transparency on your property tax bills, about the cost of voucher schools. We told you last week how the folks in Green Bay are making that happen. It's a partnership between the city council and the school board to make sure that taxpayers in Green Bay know how much voucher schools are skimming off the top of money that should otherwise go to your public schools. Well, that should be happening statewide, and it should have been happening a long time ago. And State Representative Dana Walks had the bill that would have called for that years ago, and Republicans would not bring it up. They did not want you to know the actual cost of voucher schools. So he's going to talk about that. And we're going to talk about that bill Governor Evers vetoed last week about gig workers and what would be the right way to deal with these folks who are often misclassified as independent contractors or gig workers. Dana has a lot of experience in that he's willing to talk about. All right, I'm going to go unplug my computer and plug it back in and see if that works and tell you that live from the heart of America's up north, I want to thank you for making this the place to spend part of your Tuesday morning. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Oh, yeah. Parker, that is just some nice, gentle music that is meant to feel like we're not in the midst of a technological crisis here.
I'm trying to soothe. You know, yesterday in the Madison side, it was all hell broke loose. And now today, up in the Wasota studios.
Up in the Lake Wasota studio.
Yeah.
We're flying a little blind here.
It's all right. It happens, you know.
For folks that missed it off the top, I made the mistake of doing a software update. I've done countless software updates and have never had this problem before. But of course, this one time is when our program that normally carries this show has decided it's not compatible with the update. So we quickly move things over to the laptop, which is why we don't have the little slides on screen. I'm hearing an echo. Parker thinks I might be going crazy.
I already thought that, to be fair.
That's true. Okay. I can deal with that. If you want to reach the show, our email address is radio@upnorthnewswi.com. Or similarly, you can head over to the Civic Media app. You can send us a comment by text. You can also use the new voice note feature and send us a note that way as well. All right. I'm going to pop off my headphones for a second. There we go. Just so we get rid of that echo, while I'm going to tell you for a bit about what you can find over on our website, upnorthnewswi.com. And you can sign up for our newsletter, of course, while you're there, too. But on the website, one of the new feature articles is 7 places to visit in Wisconsin Dells that aren't water parks. So many people think of it as the water park, water slide capital of the world. And Wisconsin Dells was built on things that were long predate the water parks. There's all the natural beauty there of the Dells themselves and much more. There are restaurants and spas and resorts that have very little to do with water parks. And our writer there has listed 7 of her favorite things that you can do in the Dells that are not water parks. Also on our website, there's something called the Traditions of College Campuses. And I mean, some of them you know about, but others will be brand new to you. These are 9 different traditions. Now, number 1 on the list is the jump around. Everybody gets what the jump around is. It's, you know, a 1992 song that they've been doing since, I guess, roughly 2003, something like that. There's 17 Days of Kindness at Lawrence University. There's also something called Colleen the Dream at UW River Falls. There is also the Kissing Rock at Carthage College. There's the Statue of Liberty on Lake Mendota at UW-Madison, and much more. So head over to our website, upnorthnewswi.com, and learn more about these different college campus traditions. And then one more that I wanted to tell you about, and this is not one that I would normally seek out. I got to throw my headphones back on and ask Parker about this. This one's all about grave sites. And
oh,
Parker, if I told you that one of the features is the 13 famous people buried in Wisconsin, would you go seek those out?
Probably not. Not a huge fan of that either.
But you know, there are people who love to do, you know, those cemetery tours and look for famous graves and things like that.
Yeah, I know that is a weirdly popular thing, but a thing, yes.
Not one that's really
not one that piques my interest. No, yeah.
Yeah. But there are people who like to visit the graves of famous people. And so everybody from Frank Lloyd Wright to, let's see, who else do we have here? We got Les Paul, of course. And, well, Bob Uecker recently, Joseph McCarthy, the former senator, Chris Farley. And on it goes. So again, for people who like that kind of thing, there's an article for it. We've got an article for everything over at Up North News.
It's a comprehensive.
I do recall stumbling upon the most, probably arguably the most famous grave in Chippewa Falls. And that would be the grave of Jacob Leinenkugel of the Leinenkugel Brewing Company.
The Leinenkugel?
The Leinenkugel. Yes.
Whoa.
And it's as well, one of the other early explorers from this area, whose name now escapes me, is there. There's a large cemetery just next to the Northern Wisconsin State Fairgrounds. So again, this is for some people really enjoy this, and I'm not judging.
Whatever floats your boat.
Yeah, exactly.
An inclusive bunch here.
Yep. On the Up North News social media accounts right now, from Instacart, it's another one of those list things. Okay, here's the list. 5 most popular brands of potato chips. Now, I'm not even going to give this one away because obviously Why would I tell you to go look at our post on social media? But every region of the country has its own favorite chips. I know, if do you know anybody in the Mid-Atlantic who loves to talk about Utz potato chips?
No, I've never heard of that.
Oh, Utz is big there. Cape Cod chips, they're big in the New England area.
Those I've heard of.
Hawaii, of course, they love their kettle chips. So what are the big popular chips here in Wisconsin? Check out our social media site and you can learn more about that. All right. While I'm still doing some housekeeping here about things that are popular over at Up North News, we used to bring Sharita on Tuesdays to talk about some of our more popular posts. But let me instead, we have her come in now on Thursdays and have her talk instead about big events that you can do throughout the course of the upcoming weekend. So instead, she sends me some of the notes, and some of them, of course, are not a surprise. There's our feature on Facebook about astronaut Jim Lovell from Milwaukee passing away last weekend at the age of 97. There's also a Facebook post, a new survey of the top 10 public and private high schools in Wisconsin. There is an Instagram post that did especially well last week on how Bon Iver's Justin Vernon has helped give downtown Eau Claire a makeover. And then we talked about this one yesterday on Instagram. Wisconsin shelters are overflowing with surrendered cats. And so there are new incentives to try to get you to adopt one of these cats, have a new pet, and help alleviate a glut of cats and kittens at your local shelters. The Midwest Farm Report is next. This is Up North News. I'm Pat Kreitlow, founding editor of Up North News, live from Lake Wissota, here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Remember, you can get our newsletter daily, every weekday morning here. Head over to upnorthnewswi.com, click subscribe in the banner up on top of our homepage, and also get yourself subscribed to our Sunday morning page that talks all about Wisconsin politics, including our question of the week. And this week, it's all about politicians' social media accounts. You know, thanks to people like Derek Van Orden tweeting pictures of a naked man in a ski mask and thinking that it's funny. What should the role be of politicians' personal social media accounts? That's part of our question of the week in our Sunday morning newsletter. In our daily newsletter today, among the articles in there, is one entitled, I Love Wisconsin Dells, But Not for the Reasons You Think. And that is because I think a lot of folks have forgotten over the years that now it's known as the water park capital of the world, but Wisconsin Dells has a ton of other attractions, a lot of things you can do without ever setting foot into a water park. And so we have an article on our website by Christine Hansen who lists seven of her favorite things to do in Wisconsin Dells that have nothing to do with a water park. And so check that out on our website or find a link at our newsletter, upnorthnewswi.com. State Representative Jody Emerson is with us now from Eau Claire and recently returned from a convention trip to the National Conference of State Legislators that we'll get into. Representative Emerson, how are you?
Good morning, Pat. How you doing?
It's good to see you. Looked like on social media you and Julian had a really nice break, a really nice getaway for a few days.
You know, it's we went out there for the conference and then took a couple extra days of vacation time on our own dime. Don't get a tweet about me or anything like that, but really enjoyed the time out there. We'd never been to New England, so I've eaten more lobster rolls than you can imagine. And he went to a Red Sox game and all kinds of, you know, Boston classics. Yes. Boston classics.
You got to do the lobster roll. You got to do the Sox game. I know. Dunkin' Donuts. It's all there.
Strangely enough, I didn't get Dunkin' Donuts until I was in my connecting flight in O'Hare. So.
Oh my. But you did. You finally checked it all off the list.
I did.
The National Conference of State Legislators (NCSL) group that I was part of way back when in the day as well. And we're going to talk about the difference between a service-oriented group like that versus some that are, shall we say, a little different, like a group called ALEC. But before we get into that, let's get to NCSL itself. You know, I referred to it as summer school for legislators. tell us about some of the things that benefit legislators who attend conferences like these.
Yeah, so it was an event that had, I think, over 9,500 registrants at that. So you've got legislators from all over the country, all the networking that happens at those events, finding out what our other states are doing, how they've maybe navigated the place that we're in now because they were at it 2 years ago with a certain topic or 5 years ago or something like that. And, you know, legislating is a very strange job. So it's just really nice to be around people who understand this job too, especially in the day and age that we're in. The opening piece for NCSL was about Melissa Hortman and her wife and Senator Hoffman and his wife and the horrific events that happened in Minnesota. Where there was the political assassination of state legislators and attempted assassinations. And I think that really set the groundwork for talking about, you know, what it is that we do and in the climate that we do it. So there were some really moving pieces there and talked about how we could tone down the rhetoric, which kind of goes into your piece about, you know, personal Twitter accounts and things like that. But I think that was really good. But the other piece that was really talked about a lot, you know, in the exhibit hall, at the happy hours afterwards, all these things, was everything that is going on in Texas right now. And with the redistricting attempts. So those were kind of the two big pieces, was what happened in Minnesota, what's trying to be happening in Texas. And then there's policy geeks like me that go to a breakout session on higher education and housing and things like that too. So in that sense, it is summer school for state legislators. We're learning from different places, but there's a lot of networking.
All right, there was State Representative Jody Emerson talking to us about the National Conference of State Legislators. And Mr. Olson, it sounds like you're hearing me okay. Let's see if I can I hear you, though?
I hope you can hear me.
Oh, good. Yes, I can.
Phew. Well,
phew. That was a relief. So for folk, that was Jody Emerson from our 8:30 half hour yesterday. And for folks who might have missed it, consider that a commercial.
Whoops, and sorry about that, folks. We just had a little bit of a technical difficulty there as Pat was rejoining. We should get him back in just a moment here as we hang on. He is talking about that interview that we had yesterday with Jody Emerson as she was joining us and letting us know about what is going on with the convention that she was at over the previous week, and we should be rejoining
protests as well because of these.
We should be rejoining Pat in just a moment here. Sorry about that, folks. It has been quite the morning for technical difficulties, but that's all right because, hey, you know what? It's live. That's just how it goes sometimes. And here we go. We should be bring him back, Pat, right about now.
Now that we think we're getting Parker back, I think he's rejoined us.
I have rejoined you. Yes.
So yes. It leads to this question. Where did you go?
That is a fantastic question. For whatever reason, the computers kicked me out of that browser that we have StreamYard on.
Oh.
And now I can only use the one browser. So we're going to figure this out as we have been for the last two shows.
I was going to say, so some of Monday's gremlins have carried over into Tuesday.
It would appear so, yes.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I'll let you monkey around with the computers there while I bring everybody up to speed. So now that our social media audience has joined us as well, so that you know exactly how the last 43 minutes have gone here, where it started with ostensibly me doing a computer update on my desktop, and then the program that we run the show on didn't seem to be compatible. But then we are also getting some audio echo problems that turned out to be coming from Madison. And then when we did get our browser problem figured out, suddenly the computers in the Madison studio decided to be, Alicia, sigh, technology can be so fussy. That is exactly right. So thank you for your patience. Again, we're someday, we're going to look back and laugh at this. Someday, we're going to look back at this and go, wait a minute. There were times you did computer updates and everything didn't just work. Isn't that how it's supposed to work? Yeah, it is. These things are all supposed to talk to each other just fine. But I often think about how easy, relatively, it was for me to be working in television and thinking about what the people in those early years were going through when they were, you know, flying the plane as they were building it. And some days that's what it feels like in this tech age. We are still 5 years removed from the pandemic, 5 years removed from all of us having to learn Zoom and now StreamYard and some of these other things. And we have made tremendous strides. There are more shows and podcasts than ever. There are network TV shows that are done from people's homes now. They don't have to go into a great big studio. But there's still hiccups now and then. And this was definitely one of them. So again, we apologize, but I have a sense that you probably understand what it is that we have to deal with from time to time. So for folks who are joining us a little bit later on and joining us on social media, let me tell you that we'll be talking to Dan Schaefer a little later this morning from the recombobulation area. Not so much about politics this time as about the terrible flooding that's taken place in the Milwaukee area. We'll talk to Chad Holmes from our Civic Media station in Wausau as well. And then, of course, as you can expect, I have a few thoughts on the announcement by President Trump that he's doing essentially a military takeover of Washington, D.C. Washington, D.C., by the way, a place that should have become a state long time ago and then would not have this concern. But thanks to people like Kyrsten Sinema and Joe Manchin, it could not get passed during the first couple of years of Joe Biden's term. A whole lot of good ideas couldn't get passed because of those two, you know, alleged Democrats who are thankfully no longer on the scene. But Washington, D.C. instead remains a hostage of sorts to the federal government. It would be one thing if it was just a workplace. Then, yes, a status as a federal district that Congress oversees would make sense. But this is a living, breathing place with residents and the need for schools and police and for representation if there's going to be taxation. And none of that's happened. And now it stands to be just another prop on behalf of those who would like to see our big cities micromanaged. I mean, again, these are the people on the Republican side who love to talk about small government and government should stay out of the way until it's convenient enough to be the ultimate big government. And that's to send troops into a city and take over its city government and micromanage affairs. You know, the thing I talk about here in the Wisconsin legislature all the time, where, again, the party of so-called small government lives to micromanage the things that local governments are doing. And we can't go back and change that. We can't go back and change the things that they were claiming back then. So I bring this up not as sour grapes. I bring this up as education, that the next time around when you hear about small government, think about troops in Washington, D.C. The next time you hear about they're the party of fiscal conservatism, think about this new mega bill, this big bloated boondoggle of a budget bill, and the additional $4 trillion in debt just to pay for tax cuts for the very wealthy. So there's not the local control. There's not the small government. There's not the fiscal conservatism. And this latest episode simply reaffirms it. This is somebody who says crime is rampant in Washington, D.C., the president does, when the crime statistics are down. Is it a perfect place? Oh, heavens no. No big city is. You need to know where to go, where not to go. In part because you have people who are undereducated and underemployed. And when asked why that might be, I might point you to generations of austerity in our budgets. because it feels good rather than actually, you know, taking care of all of our folks, making sure that we all have the proper education and training to get out there and work, or the rehabilitation programs, or the drug treatment programs, or the homeless programs. Remember, this all started, this episode in Washington, D.C., with Donald Trump saying the homeless problem was out of hand, so he was going to round them all up. And then he said, well, it's crime that's out of hand, so we're going to militarize the city here. Well, where are those homeless folks going to go? He's simply going to engage in the same human trafficking that he and the governors of Texas and Florida have been involved with forever, where they simply push people off of their doorstep and make them somebody else's problem. That's not how you solve problems. That's not what we elect people to do. But that's what Donald Trump's doing, because that's the only thing he knows how to do, is to take a page out of the authoritarian's handbook. So are things going to get better in D.C.? Not with this step. Not by a long shot. Today's history lesson is next, as we always do, mornings live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
No, we haven't made a mistake. This is today's history lesson, and it starts with Sir Mix-a-Lot, and probably about all we can play of that song at this hour of the day on this particular network. Yeah, Sir Mix-a-Lot, born Anthony Ray in Seattle this day in 1963. So happy 62nd birthday to Sir Mix-a-Lot. I'm not sure who knighted him.
He's a sir.
But he is a sir, yes. And now, ladies and gentlemen, it's Tuesday, so let's make it two for Tuesday. A twin spin of Lionel Richie, all right? First, on this day in 1978, he had this hit with the Commodores. So at this point, by 1978, the Commodores had been on the road for years. They'd had a lot of good upbeat, you know, things on the charts. But their first number one song was a ballad penned by Lionel Richie of the Commodores. He then went on, of course, to have a very successful solo career. And it was on this day in 1984 that he performed his latest hit song at the closing ceremony of the 1984 Summer Olympics in Los Angeles. I don't recall this, of course, at the time, but apparently one of his backup dancers was a young actor named Cuba Gooding Jr., who would go on to later fame. Let's see, on this day in 1851, a guy named Isaac Singer was granted a patent. The patent was for his sewing machine, and that became the start of the Singer sewing machines, which I thought were ubiquitous, but I'm going to hazard a guess that Parker has never been in a place where somebody has a sewing machine and still does some of their own sewing.
No, like, people that I know, no. But I have used a sewing machine before in school.
You have?
Yeah, in, like, school. We learned.
Okay.
Well, but we learned.
Okay. I just wasn't sure to what degree sewing machines are still a thing. My mom, who sews like crazy, as did my grandma, is now teaching her granddaughters, some of the granddaughters, and I think one of the great granddaughters, how to sew, which is pretty cool.
I think it's more important to know how to sew like by hand than with a machine at this point.
Yeah, you're not going to be making a lot of your own clothes, at least not now. I mean, eventually in Trump's dystopia, we might have to grow all of our own food and sew our own clothes, but that's for another day. Let's see, on this day in World War I, of course, they didn't know it was World War I at the time, but the United Kingdom declared war on Austria-Hungary, which would become later known as the First World War. On this day in 1991, Metallica released its fifth album, self-titled but commonly known as the Black Album. Now, funny, much like we said about Lionel Richie and the Commodores, you know, they kind of had to change their style to get even more famous. The Black Album marked a change in the band's music from the thrash metal style of their four previous albums to something slower, heavier, more refined. It went to number one in 8 countries and sold 16 million copies. On this day in 1981, the IBM personal computer was released. In 1989, on this day, Richard Marx got his 3rd consecutive number one hit. On this day in 1994, Major League ballplayers went on strike. That would eventually force the cancellation of the 1994 World Series. On this day in 1997, a new group called the Backstreet Boys issued their self-titled debut album. It did all right. $14 million copies later, everybody knew who the Backstreet Boys were. Until NSYNC came along, and then we couldn't tell the difference between the two of them.
Well, you know, it happens. I didn't realize that the Backstreet Boys were that young. I would have thought they were earlier 90s.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know. Not that I pay attention.
It's all before you were born anyway, exactly. So it's just all, you know, it's all BP, before Parker. You know, speaking of boy bands, on this day in 2008, the Jonas Brothers album, A Little Bit Longer, featuring the hit single Burning Up, debuted at number one on the charts. And on this day in 2017, in Charlottesville, Virginia, there was a Unite the Right rally. It would lead to the deaths of 3 people and injuries to at least 50 more. It was the first clear sign that in that first year of Donald Trump's first term, that racists in America weren't going to silently celebrate his victory, but instead feel emboldened to come out from under their rocks, march in the streets, eventually invade the Capitol, and even run for office and serve in Congress. Great job, America. Way to go. Today is International Youth Day around the country. It's also Middle Child Day. Parker, where are you in the sibling order of things?
I am the 2nd of 2.
The 2nd of 2, so yes. The younger child.
Some would say that I put an end to my family line.
I could see that happening, yes. This is Middle Child Day, so for those of you with the 3 sibling thing, somebody in the middle has got a special day today. This is also, in a totally unrelated situation, this is National Milkman Day. And again, Parker's never had to deal with, you know, the heir of the milkman and saying, you know, why doesn't my brother look like me? And then they make some joke about the milkman, you know, or.
Okay. Whoa.
I love hearing old jokes new to young people. Whoa. This is great. This is National Julian Fries Day. If I said Julian Fries, would you know what I was talking about?
I would have thought that you meant the one guy, Julian Assange. I was thinking of him.
No, not the spy. No, the French fries. These are the very skinny French fries. Think of them. They're just skinnier French fries. They're called Julians. And this is World Elephant Day as well. All right. Coming up in the next hour, we're going to be talking to our friends Hans Breitenmoser and Sheila Everhart about the fall session of the Wisconsin legislature and a bill that they hope to see pass that would allow some farmers to diversify their revenue operations and legally start to host campers. That's coming up across the Civic Media Radio Network. Live from Lake Wissota, I'm Pat Kreitlow.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.